Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Jenny and Patrick, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Today, we are checking in with the library. Get it? I can't resist a good dad joke. Sorry. Specifically, we'll be talking to Jenny Gordon, Kara Marshall, and Adam Pogue, the children's librarian, the teen librarian, and the lead library assistant, respectively, here at the main branch of the Peoria Public Library, where we are recording from the Amplify studio. I'm going to take a moment to introduce my guests. You all know Jenny from past episodes. She's also my co-host, my beloved Commissioner Gordon. How are you doing today, Commissioner Gordon?
I'm doing great, Poet Master Patrick.
Thanks for being here with me today. Thanks for agreeing to be interviewed. I know you're used to being on the other side of the table.
Yeah, I can do. I'm ambidextrous that way. I can do both sides.
Jenny's multi-talented. Kara, how are you today?
I'm feeling great. Feeling excited.
Kara's here to talk about some of the amazing programs we've got going on for teens here at the library. Adam, welcome to the podcast. Adam's here. He's been here before, actually, behind the scenes. He's our producer. Welcome to the podcast as an interviewee.
It's a big change. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to take each of you in turn and give you an opportunity to talk about some of the incredible programs you've got going on here at the library. It's a lot. We got a lot to pack into this episode because it is popping here at the Peoria Public Library. We're going to start with you today, Adam. I got some good questions for you. But before we dive into those, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself? What brought you to the library? What made you want to stay? I know you're working on your library science degree. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So I've lived in Peoria my whole life. I've become in this library since it first opened. And after I graduated at ASU, I was looking for a job and decided to give myself a different pace. You know, I just tried it out and I like it.
And you've decided to make a career out of it.
I have, yes. It's definitely a calling, and I am answering the call.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, Adam. Every day working with you, I can feel your passion for your programs and just your commitment to the library. Your programs have been a huge success. One of the things that you introduced here at the library, one of our most successful programs, in fact, is esports for kids. Ages, what is it?
7 to 17. Yeah, so esports consists of a bunch of kids coming in, 7 to 17, playing Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers. So what we do is for Mario Kart, we just put them in a regular bracket. You know, you have like a basketball game, and they would go at it. They're all included in the same bracket. For Super Smash, very similar, but we have a double elimination bracket, and they go at it one-on-one. So it's a lot of fun. Kids come in there, they learn how to lose, and they learn how to win, and they learn how to socialize a lot in public setting. So it's good. It's great.
And they get prizes too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we usually have a lot of donation prizes or leftovers from summer reading, things like that, and we go ahead and give them a little prize, and they love it.
I got to tell you guys, Adam is underselling this program. It is, like, amazing, the turnout for this program. Parents, kids love it. When they leave the doors open to the Willow Room while these tournaments are going on, you can hear it all the way across the library. Those kids are having a good time, and you know, for a lot of these kids, they don't have that opportunity, like you said, to get out and socialize. So it's a really great opportunity.
Yeah, video gaming can often be a solo. You know, you're involved with other people, but you don't see them. So the way you're doing it, you're actually making them in person socialization, which is great.
It's great because these kids be coming up to each other and say, "Hey, you want to play?" After the competition's over, sometimes I've seen them get each other's phone numbers, make friends. It's great. It's a really great place for the kids to come and hang out once on Saturday each month.
Yeah, watching those kids make those connections—that's one of the best.
Oh
parts.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing.
Was it a hard buy-in to bring that sort of thing? Because the idea is that we're a library and we're all about education. And then you're like, okay, video games, the thing that normally is taken away from kids, you know, so that they'll actually focus on their homework. Was that a hard thing to...
At first, there's a lot of talk about, you know, this program being more of like a suite instead of the main course, you know, of a meal. But the more you look at it, you can look at comparative to movies, people usually get the idea of, you know, movies are okay for kids, might as well, it's entertaining, but it's not really anything you can do, it's passive. But with, at least with video games, they're doing like a multiple different things. They're being interactive, they're doing problem solving, they're actually doing a lot of reading. The only reading you're going to get in a movie is maybe if there's some subtitles or some foreign movie, but they're not going to be watching foreign movies.
No,
so
kids watching that.
So also with the socializing aspect, even if they're online playing, they're still talking to other people, making friends, having a good time. It is also entertaining. So it's like more pros over movies than movies. But we're okay with movies in the library.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I was raised on video games, so yeah. I'm a little bit prejudiced. But I always tell my kids, you know, I'd much rather, you know, have them playing an interactive video game where they're problem solving and, you know, being a part of the story, almost like those old choose your own adventure books I loved
Absolutely.
When I was a kid, as opposed to television where it's pretty much completely passive. You know, you're just kind of sitting back and, you know, having these images or whatever bombarded at you.
I feel like that's a subjective way of looking at it too. People always have that kind of negative way of looking at it, but there's so many more pros than a movie.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that this program's been so successful that it's now spiraled into to have video games available here to check out at
the Peoria
Public Library for the first time ever.
Yeah. We've had it for a while.
Glendale's had it for a while, but yeah, now we finally got it at Peoria.
Oh my goodness, yes. When I first started here, I don't know how many times I brought it up. Hey, well, Glendale has it. You know, I have to go over there. We need to get it over here. And finally, after 3 years, we have video games. I think we have about 35 titles, and they're all checked out right now. I think I checked on Saturday.
What system are they for?
They're all for the Nintendo Switch right now.
Okay.
We may consider bringing in an Xbox and PlayStation later down the road, depending on how well it is. But right now we're focusing on Nintendo, and it's going really well. They're constantly checked out. We have 35 titles. We'll be getting about another 30 by the end of December, if not beginning of January. So we'll be up to almost 70 titles by middle of January at least.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was literally the day after we rolled them out, that fixture was empty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been empty ever since.
It's great.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we have to put books about video games on the display.
We have to fill that shelf up somehow.
All right, so before I move on to another one of our guests, I wanted to ask you a little bit about two of the other programs that you're involved with here at the library. One is the Read It and Eat It Cookbook Club. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Oh, yeah. So each month, it's a program where you can bring in a dish and share it with a group. So it's themed out. For example, for December, we are doing your family recipe. So something that you were taught and passed down over the ages by possibly your family. You cook it up, bring it in, share with the group, talk about it, say what you like about it, what you don't like about it, how you cooked it, so on. We give each other's tips. It's a great program. All ages.
Sharing food, sharing recipes. Sounds like a good time. Absolutely. I know I've benefited from some of the leftover cheesecake, for which you are famous here at the library.
Yes. What is it with the cheesecake? It seems everything. It's like, okay, it's all about pumpkin. There's
yes.
a pumpkin cheesecake. It's salads. It's a salad cheesecake, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yes, that salad cheesecake was new to me, and that if anybody out there is wondering, that is cheesecake pudding and then fruit, basically, and it was tasty. So I just wanted to learn how to make it with one of the first ones I was attending before I actually took over the program, and then the next month I did one, and the following month, and it just became a thing. Don't get me wrong, I do make real food sometimes. For this month, I am doing stuffed shells and cheesecake.
Ah,
yummy.
1-2 punch.
Yes.
I do love the idea of taking, you know, that traditional notion of a book club and turning it into sort of a cooking club where you're sharing recipes, and
absolutely.
It's a cool new take on the book club.
Yeah, and you get some really good recipes, plus you just get some ideas of whose cookbooks are awesome, and you know, hey, try this one out. And also here at the library, we have a ton of themed out cookbooks, and they're awesome. For example, Super Mario Brothers, we have it on the shelf, things like that.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah. There's like a Game of Thrones one.
Oh,
They have
Star
cookbooks
Wars,
for different video
Star
games
Trek.
And stuff. Yes.
You got a fandom.
Star Wars
got
was
a
one of the first
for it.
Ones.
Yeah, our teen librarian, Kara, is the one that
Wookie
has been
cookies.
Purchasing these.
I remember trying once. Those were pretty good.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Wookie cookies from
Wookie
Star
cookies.
Wars. Yeah,
yes.
They were yummy.
Yes.
No. All right. So last but not least, a program which is near and dear to my own heart because it is one of the programs I'm involved in here at the library. But we also offer a Dungeons and Dragons program for teens and adults here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So you and I, about a year ago, decided to come up with a new program. It was supposed to be tabletop games and D&D, which evolved to be just D&D. I didn't know how to do D&D at first. I actually just started DMing December of this year. So I actually DM'd more than I actually have played the game. It's it's kind of weird, but I love doing it.
For those who are not in the know, can you explain what all those letters
mean? Sure. So DM meaning Dungeon Master. So you're up in front of the table telling the story, running the game. And okay. So I've been doing that for like the past year now. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
You're a natural.
Thank
you,
sir.
The players absolutely love your narration. I love that you get into the characters, you know, the voices and everything. You really ham it up. That's what you got to do to be a successful Dungeon Master. We've also roped Kara into the Dungeons & Dragons program. I'm creating a little army of DMs.
That's amazing.
trying to spread the word. But yeah, it's the first Wednesday of every month, correct?
Yes.
From 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7, yeah. So we have it once a month on every Wednesday, first Wednesday. And then during the winter and Halloween, we usually have a fancy special Halloween or Christmas episode.
And then how do they sign up online? You can sign up on our website or here at the library. Just scan one of the QR codes on the flyers. Seating is limited. We only have a certain number of tables. We only have a certain number of Dungeon Masters volunteering their time. So if you're interested in playing some Dungeons and Dragons here at the Peoria Main Library, go online, check it out, sign up. All right. Next, we are going to talk to our teen librarian, Kara Marshall, about some of the great programs we've got going on here for teens. Lots of new stuff in the last year or two. Kara, before we dive into your questions, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got here, your road to teen librarianship?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been here forever. I started as a teen volunteer back in the summer of 2007.
You went from teen volunteer to teen librarian.
I really did. I'm not lying when I've said I've been here almost pretty much half my life. So yeah, I was a teen volunteer for my last two summers of high school. And then I left for college, went to veterinary science, didn't like it, came back here, got my English degree. And then, yeah, I had been going to the library and I saw that they had job openings for what was then called a page, is now called an aide, just shelving. And I applied for the job and I got it. And then worked my way up from page to library assistant, then got my master's and became a teen librarian. And I mean, I've always been in libraries. I should have known libraries was where I was going to end up, but I thought I'd try something different.
I think you definitely found your calling, Kara, no doubt about it. So I live up closer to the Sunrise Mountain Library, which is, I think, where you started, right?
Yep. I was there for 9 years before I became a librarian here at the main library.
I actually remember, because I used to take the kids over there when they were really young for story time and stuff. I remember going in there and seeing you way back in the day when you were a page.
So young.
So young. You've kind of been a fixture here at the Peoria Library you said, for forever now.
Yeah. Yep.
This place just wouldn't be the same without you, especially given all the awesome programs you've got going on. So let's get to that real quick. I know last year you received a grant to bring some virtual reality programs here to the library. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that happened.
So I had just started playing around with the idea of a VR, because it always seemed, and this is a common, it's a comment that I usually get when I'm running the program, is that it seems so abstract to a lot of people because it's not a super accessible technology. Mm. It is a bit on the more expensive side.
For sure.
And you can't just walk out to any location and try out a VR game. And I had just been trying it out myself. A family member had a headset. And I'm a person, I have to trick myself into exercising. So I was trying out this, it was almost like a dance game, but it was actually exercise on their VR headset. And then I was obsessed. So a couple weeks after I did that, my library manager let me know about a grant opportunity to bring VR headsets to the library. And I said, I have to apply. I have to try. And then I got it. And I think it's been a really fun program. Everyone that I interact with is they're kind of astonished at the technology and the stuff that they can do and the things that they can see in VR.
I know I was. I got to be one of the early testers of the equipment, which I was very grateful for. I had experimented with a really early kind of crude version of VR when I worked at Barnes & Noble. We had a maker fair and somebody brought a VR headset, but it was an old one. And when I tried the headset that you had here at the library, I couldn't believe how far they had come in such a short time. The experience was it's a whole different ballgame now.
Yeah, it's astonishing because they've got, I have a patron that comes in and every time and she sits down with the headset for the full hour and a half runtime and she's just watching VR documentaries, 360 videos. You can go on walks through forests, through mountains, through I had one that was like a Christmas market in Germany and she just goes through and she watches all of the, like the nonfiction educational content she can. She just posts up in that chair and I help her out when she needs help. But there's so many things that you can do. It's not just, I mean, we do have a good amount of people that come in to play the very fun games that we have. My personal favorite is Power Wash Simulator. I know it sounds boring, but try it. Trust me.
It's a lot of fun.
And yeah, there's so much to do and so much to learn. It's not just a video game platform. It's also educational. So,
yeah. So I'm a humongous nerd, not just Dungeons and Dragons and science fiction and fantasy and all that good stuff. But I was also, when I was a kid, I was a big Star Trek fan. And they had the holodeck, and the first time I used the virtual reality headset, I was like, "This is like the holodeck.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You can go here, and you can be anywhere you want to be, and it's a fully immersive environment for you to explore and learn about." And it was like, kind of like a dream come true.
Yep, it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and we are
science fiction becoming science fact.
It really is. It really is. We're living in the future, truly.
So I know it was a grant, so you have to do it for a certain time period, but are you going to be able to continue offering that at the library?
Yeah, actually, but the grant period ended a couple months ago, and so yeah, so I have been continuing it every month.
I think it's the second Tuesday
from 4:30 to 6, and yeah, we've still been going. I get some of my regulars. I get usually a number of new people every time. They're just coming in, yeah, trying out the stuff.
Now, is there an age limit, like... Could a 10-year-old do it, or is it just teens and adults?
It is, unfortunately, just teens and adults.
Okay.
Due to certain studies, they do recommend that you have to be over 13 to use the headset, because there are studies that do indicate that interacting with VR content may affect children's balance or brain development in some way, their proprioception. So they do recommend that you have to be over 13 or over.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah. So and I've had to turn away a couple kids, but I say it's for your own good. And it's not just me making the decision. It is the headset makers that recommend this. So it's not just me being a Grinch.
You are anything but a Grinch, I think. I don't think anyone would ever accuse you of being a Grinch.
I hope not.
So in addition to the VR program, which you got to get in here and check out, guys, I can't tell you how cool those headsets are. Kara also runs the anime club for teens here at the Peoria Public Library. Tell us a little bit about that program.
So it's just all nerdy stuff for me. So I was always really big into anime as a kid. That was what I was known for. I was always running to Best Buy to buy those anime DVDs, getting manga, which is Japanese comics. Anime is, if you want to be a
stickler.
Yeah, if you want to be a stickler about it, and if you want to really boil it down, anime is just Japanese animation. Manga is the comic version. I always had a manga with me in high school. So, and then I just got started because I was really passionate about building up the manga collection here at the main library. So I thought, and I had a lot of kids coming in and asking me about the manga collection, telling me the stuff that we should buy. So I thought, hey, let's make a fun space for these kids to interact, to build friends, to just talk about anime. And yeah, it's an really easy program for me to run because, as I said, I love anime, and yeah, it's a great time.
Yeah, I know before I left Barnes & Noble, the manga section was where it was at. I mean, every single day we had teens packed. In that section, copies of, you know, Chainsaw Man, Jujutsu Kaisen, stuff like that were just flying off the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those things have been picked up now by Netflix and other producers for programs. It's definitely enjoying a moment. It's kind of the part of the whole cultural zeitgeist right now.
Yep, for sure. And I know when I was younger, anime was definitely more of a niche thing, I'd say. It was definitely a nerdy thing that you did get made fun of. But now I think anime and manga is really having its moment. I'm not sure. My running theory is that everyone was inside for COVID. The advent of streaming, all the anime is streaming now, whereas I used to have to get up DVDs or find episodes broken up into multiple parts on YouTube uploaded. But so that would be how we had to used to find anime. But now you can just access it through Netflix, Hulu.
Crunchyroll
is the big one. That's the big streaming service. And I have a account that we use to watch anime through Crunchyroll in Anime Club. But really, we don't do a lot of anime watching because the big thing is we love to do trivia. Just this last time we did anime episodes usually have opening theme songs. So I did a thing where I would play like the first 8 seconds of a theme song, and then the kids would have to guess the theme song, and they got to win prizes for it. And they really liked that. So really, we don't actually do a ton of anime watching. It's more anime-based activities that we do.
But that's good. It's kind of like Adam's program with the video games. Mm-hmm. You're creating interaction and giving them a time to socialize about the nerdy thing they love.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I even visited that one time. That was a lot of fun. We had something in the background, and we were playing with the... What are those little things we were building?
We made perler bead crafts.
Yes, perler beads. Those were so much fun.
Ironable bead crafts. Yeah, I had an episode of something playing on, but then the kids were also making perler bead crafts, which is where those fusible beads that you put onto the boards, mm-hmm. and you iron them, and then they melt together into one little like
such an awesome
art piece. So yes, yeah, so we do more anime-based crafts, activities, and yeah, and it's just a fun place for...
And do you have themed snacks? I remember at one point you did.
Yes, I do every once in a while. I try to get them. I get this like bulk pack of authentic Japanese snacks, and I bring them in, and the kids get to sample them. And I've gotten the same pack a couple times, and there is this one snack that is without fail always left over. It is a dried, salted plum. Nobody wants it. I took one for the team and tried it one time. I didn't enjoy it. I recommend it if you want to prank your friends, but that was definitely an authentic Japanese snack that that my American palate was not fond of.
All right. Yeah, definitely a long way. It was super niche, I remember, when I was young. I remember when I was at U of A, they had a special screening of Akira, and it was like me and three other guys in the movie theater. And it was this big deal that you got to see Akira, and that was like the only Japanese animation I'd ever seen.
It's so cool, though. It's a classic. I would have been there, too.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. And then last but not least, let's talk a little bit about LibraryCon. This
Woo-hoo.
Is we started this few years back, and it's turned into one of the biggest programs here at the library. It's an annual event. Tell us a little bit about LibraryCon, Kara.
So LibraryCon, I kind of inherited it from another librarian. It's essentially just a celebration of all things like nerdy comic book. We try and have a lot of stuff for a lot of families. We bring in, at least we try, and bring in local artists. We have vendor tables. It's just it's a big 3-hour celebration of all things nerdy and geeky for the whole family. We have crafts, temporary tattoos, face painting.
I believe a costume contest for different age groups,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yes. So we do have a costume contest, and this maybe ties in a little bit with what we talked about a little bit earlier, but the two prizes for our costume competition, we have a kids division and a teen/adult division. The two prizes that are going to be coming up for this next year are 2 Nintendo Switch Lights.
Wow.
So,
that's good stuff.
So you can win your Nintendo Switch with a beautiful costume, and then you can go out and check out some Nintendo Switch games
Win-win.
From the library, and you can play to your heart's content. So really, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, this is the biggest prize we've ever offered for the cosplay contest. So if you're crafty or you got a great outfit lying around, put it in, come in, dress up, and you know, who knows, you might win.
And what date and time is that going to be?
That is going to be February 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are still locking down some of the details, some of the attendees, but we're definitely, every year we try and make it bigger and better, and it's definitely shaping up to be much bigger, much better this upcoming year. So
can't wait.
Looking forward to that. All right. So now I'm going to pop over to our children's librarian, Jenny Gordon, also my co-host, Commissioner Gordon. She's the children's librarian here at the main branch of the Peoria Public Library. Jenny, do you want to tell us a little bit about some of your favorite programs you have going on here?
Well, one of our standards is story time. I do toddler time on Tuesdays and family story time on Thursdays. And that is definitely the part of my job that I'm like, I get paid to do this because I get to read to kids. I get to sing songs. I get to bring that theater music background of mine. You know, I get to do the voices when reading the stories and finger plays. And just like, especially with toddler time, they are legit toddlers. Like they are shorter than my knee. They're these tiny little things and they're just so excited, and they'll come to the library and they'll do the wheels on the bus, and parents will tell me that like their kids, because they're still learning, they're like, is it Tuesday? Is today Tuesday? Like they know they go to the library on Tuesday. They just don't know when Tuesday is. So I just am like, oh my goodness, that makes my heart so happy. So that's one of the standard programs I always get to do. And then we try and have like one big event each month, like whether it be we're hoping sometime into January to have Destiny Martial Arts do a karate workshop for us. And then in March, Arizona Broadway Theater is going to be bringing one of their Theater for Young Audiences plays called The Bully to the library. And in May, we'll be getting original written by an actor for Arizona Broadway Theater, making The Boy Who Cried Wolf, coming to the library, getting its grand premiere, so to speak. So getting to do different things like that. And like one vendor I met at the Arizona STEM and Innovation Summit was they're called STEAM Challenge Island. And they're a group that comes in and encourages families to work together to do a STEAM building challenge. So during spring break, I'm going to have them come to both Peoria libraries, and they're going to have families work together. It's called a Shark Tooth Island Bridge Challenge. So they are going to have to build a bridge that will sustain, you know, weight so that they do not fall into the great white shark infested waters below.
Wow, better than reality TV. Shark Tooth Island Bridge Challenge here at the Peoria Public Library. I love it. Yeah, if you haven't experienced one of Jenny's story times, it is a rare treat. When I first started working here, I used to eavesdrop on your story times. I can definitely tell you've got that theater background, the songs and the narration and the voices, and it's really incredible.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And then we've of course built upon the standards. We have sensory story time that Miss Autumn does, where it's geared more towards those who are on the spectrum and need a little bit more of a chiller environment so that they can still have the songs and the stories, but maybe would not, because toddler time, we get about 50 to 70 people. Now that's kids and adults, but it's a lot of sound and a lot of action and a lot of movement. So for kids where that's too much sensory overload, that's what sensory story time is just kind of getting the same experience, but at a much calmer level. Then we've also added a music and movement story time on Saturdays, where now the other end of the spectrum, where it's a lot more focused on movement and music, like doing songs and lots of action and actually doing warm-ups and cool-downs. So a little bit more on the exercise spectrum. So yeah, we're constantly trying, and we have our teddy bear story time. So we have an evening story time for the moms and dads that have to work and can't come to our daytime story times. Mr. Zach does that, and he does a fabulous job.
He does a phenomenal job. Yeah, everybody loves Mr. Zach.
And then we even have a bilingual story time with Miss Doris, who actually is bilingual. Autumn and I have substituted, and we muddle our way through, but it definitely makes a difference having an actual bilingual person doing it, because it just flows so well for her.
Little something for everybody. Bilingual story time, music and movement. We've got toddler story time, teddy bear story time for those of you who, you know, work during the day and can't make it and maybe want to bring the kids in the evening. So tons of great stuff going on back in the children's department. Anything else specifically you wanted to mention?
For ages 4 to 12, so very specific age group, but we always, every year, partner with In-N-Out. They have a cover-to-cover reading program that they offer. So it's a very specific age group because it's their program that we're just offering. But it's a really awesome program. If you have kids ages 4 to 12, the idea is to read 5 books, or can also be, I think they actually changed it last year, where it can be minutes as well as books, because sometimes that was the struggle of older kids. You know, chapter books can take a long time to get through, so it can also be 60 minutes, but it's 5 spaces, so either 5 books or 5 days worth of 60 minutes of reading. And you get a voucher for a free hamburger or cheeseburger. And what makes In-N-Out's program so awesome is that they let you do it up to 3 times. So you can earn up to 3 hamburgers at In-N-Out. And it is one of our more popular reading programs.
I can see why. Books and cheeseburgers. These are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
My son did it last year, and you can bet he got all 3.
Yes. it is one of our most popular. Although every now and then I come across a kid who does not like hamburgers. One sweet boy, though, did the program and then gave the coupons to his dad.
Aw, what a nice kid. My boy actually doesn't eat regular hamburgers either. He gets, they do, it's basically like a meatless, it's just an awesome
like a
grilled cheese. It's just like the best grilled cheese you've ever had. So he used him to get that. All right. Normally, at this point in the program, we would do our Poetry Corner segment. But in lieu of that, since we're here at the library, I want to take a moment and talk a little bit with each of our guests today about maybe a book that had a big impact on you, maybe influenced the trajectory of your life, maybe is one of the reasons you're here today as a librarian, or maybe just something, you know, just something you love, just one of your favorite books that you just want to shout out and spread the good word about. Let's start with you, Jenny. Do you have a favorite book or a book that really meant a lot to you over the years?
Well, definitely, if we're going for historical, like, it meant a lot to me as a kid. I mean, I'm a huge lover of reading fantasy, and that definitely started with The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. I read it the original way, stupid publishers changing the order.
Always changing the order. It always confused me as a bookseller.
Well, what they were going for was putting it in chronological order. And Lewis did a very specific order of what made the most sense of having a savior come versus the world ending. So he had a purpose to why he did it the way he did. So the book set I have at home is in the correct order, even though the numbers are false.
People take that stuff very seriously.
Yes.
You gotta get your Narnia books in order.
Yes. So that was definitely one that I read as a kid that I just absolutely loved.
I was a big Tolkien fanatic as a kid, so another one of the Inklings there. And definitely fantasy was my gateway drug for reading,
yeah.
No doubt about it. How about you, Kara? A particular book that comes to mind?
So I'm probably one of the worst people to ask about this because even to this day, I have 3 TBR piles to be read. I have 1 here at work and I have 2 at home. So trying to pick one book
It's hard.
It's very difficult.
So you don't have to limit yourself. You can talk about 3 or 4. Go ahead.
So I'm going
to
talk about 2. I'll talk about the book that I've bought the most editions of, and that's going to be it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read, is The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. I have a reading copy, a semi-show copy, a show copy, and a Don't Crack This Spine by Any Means Necessary copy that was almost $100. So I've got my various levels of The Song of Achilles, and it's just a beautiful blend of history and beautiful fantasy and heartbreaking fantasy and a love story, but also it's got hope at the end. It's just so beautiful and so moving, and I don't cry easy, but I was definitely tearing up in the last chapter.
Mm.
So I highly recommend it. The second series that I'll talk about, a little bit less serious, it's a graphic novel series called Saga. I saw it in Drawn to Comics in Glendale, just the front cover. It is the story of a woman and a man from 2 warring factions who fall in love and have a child, and then they go on the run because their love cannot be. The 2 warring factions do not want this child to exist. I believe there's somewhere upwards of 12 volumes now, and it's just a beautiful space opera, lots of heartbreak. If you like a character in this series, don't get attached to them. Is all that I'll say.
It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, or Veronica Roth. She yes. likes to kill a lot of characters.
Yes,
too.
Yes. It's just the art is beautiful by, I believe the artist's name is Fiona Staples, perhaps. I know her first name's Fiona. But the art is amazing, and it's just so moving, such a deep story of family and what you'll do for your family and the people you love and the sacrifices that you'll make. It's just a beautiful series, and I highly recommend it to every grown up who wants to read a story. And I mean, some people write it off as just being comic books, but I believe it's won many, many awards, and it's just, it's my favorite graphic novel series. I'll say that much.
Wow. That was some high praise. Yes. I'm sold.
Yes.
that was incredibly eloquent. it sounds like something I'd love to read. I'd love a good space opera.
Yes.
First of all. Mm-hmm. And you can't go wrong with an age-old story of star-crossed lovers, warring factions, kind of a Romeo and Juliet mm-hmm. story,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yep. Very much so.
And I, even though I haven't read the Song of Achilles, I've heard amazing things about it. That was another one when I worked at Barnes & Noble that just flew off the shelves. And people, everyone who read it couldn't say enough about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who read it really loved it. It's kind of a retelling of the Iliad, right? Is it from Patroclus'
yes.
point of view?
Yeah, it's from Patroclus' point of view, who is actually a very small character in the Iliad. But Madeline Miller really wanted to build on his presence since he meant so much to Achilles. She really wanted to build on that, so she decided to write a novel from his perspective, and it's just, it's absolutely beautiful, and Madeline Miller's writing is amazing.
Yeah, he is a minor character, but at the same time, the whole reason that Achilles finally goes to war,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The death of Patroclus.
Yep. Yes, I can't recommend it enough. It's just a beautiful story from, yeah, the point of view of a character who is mentioned not a ton in the Iliad, but had great effects on the main players of the Iliad. So,
all right. Song of Achilles, the saga series of graphic novels, Chronicles of Narnia. Adam, how about you? I know there's a book series you're reading right now
yeah,
that you are
definitely.
Super crazy about.
Yes, I am reading Dungeon Crawler Carl. I'm on book 5. I just finished the fourth one yesterday. It's by Matt Dinneman. I was exposed to it about 4 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to put them down. Highly recommend it if you're a gamer and you like anything to do with the Dungeons & Dragons, or you just like light RPG novels. You'll really enjoy it. I would say, though, as a kid growing up, I was a huge science nerd, so I love science, anything to do with science fiction. And so my aunt bought me a copy of Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton mm-hmm. when I was about, I think, 7, 8. And the best thing about Michael Crichton is he takes real science and just twists it a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. what would happen if we can clone dinosaurs? What happens if this volcano erupts and
this
happens?
That's true science fiction, yes.
Yeah, so it's really gets your mind going, and it's really, really engaging. I really like all his work.
And you read him at 7 years old?
7, 8 years old, yeah, I started reading it. So I can make understand half of it, but it's still, I tried to muddle my way through it.
Yeah.
Might have been maybe a little later, 9, 10. It was some Christmas, so I was turning 9 or 10.
But still,
yeah.
I would definitely not be like, Michael Crichton's my go-to at
yeah.
9 years old.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Precocious yeah. reader.
It took
sure.
a while for me to finish it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I can understand the allure, though, of that sort of science or fact-based science fiction. One of my favorite books of all time, if not my favorite. I don't know. It's tough. It like Kara said, it's tough to just pick one.
Yeah, one of favorites.
But Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
That book moved me. Mm-hmm. That book, I felt, made me more human. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. If all you've ever seen is the Universal horror monster movies, it's not at all what
I
you
finally
think
read
is.
It when it was the, I think it was the 300th anniversary or whatever centennial anniversary it was. And I was shocked by how nothing like the movies it was.
Such a beautiful book and so prescient in terms of, you know, some of the things that we're dealing with today and how do we use technology responsibly? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we incorporate it into our lives in a way that's beneficial and not harmful? You know, what are we letting loose with some of these things that we're turning loose on the world?
Cautionary tale of trying to play God.
A cautionary mm-hmm. tale for sure. And so, so beautifully written. All right. Well, I want to take a moment to thank you all for being here today. I also want to take a moment to let you all know that our sister branch, Sunrise Mountain Library, a little north of us there, also has an incredible suite of great programs for teens, for adults, for kids.
You want to talk about story times. Sunrise Mountain, I think, has double the amount of story times that they offer than we do here.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
The population that they are serving.
That is why I used to bring my kids there when they were young. And I tell you, they loved the story times over there. Some really, really great, engaging, exciting story times for kids of all ages. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I haven't asked them yet, but I'm hoping to be able to interview them on a future edition of the What's Up Peoria podcast to talk about their big event, Bravo, their big event that they have. I think it's in March.
Yes.
So that we can give them a chance to kind of tell us about all the great things they've got going on over there. Gabe works over there. You might know him from the What's Up Peoria podcast. He is one of the hosts for the podcast, and he's also my partner for the poetry competition that we do every April during National Poetry Month. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed we'll get a chance to talk to them about some of the great stuff they're doing. But again, thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Adam, not just for being here today, but for all the great work you do for the community, all the amazing programs that you've put together and that you offer the community here in Peoria. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, have a great day. Thanks again for joining us with the What's Up Peoria podcast. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.